Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And today we have the absolute honor and privilege of speaking with Frank O'Connell. Frank has had a remarkable career. He's a man who really knows how to land a top job. He's been the top guy at HBO Video, Fox Video, Mattel, Reebok, Indian Motorcycle, Gibson Greetings, and many others. He's currently the chairman of the board of Schilling Toys and King Arthur Flour. And Frank, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Steve. I'm happy to be on the call.
Okay, so first, I guess let's go right to the meat of all this. What are some of the do's and don'ts for landing a top job? And do you believe the rules today are the same as they were a few years ago?
Okay, thanks, Steve. Now, the rules over time have definitely changed. And, you know, I'm very involved now in recruiting, you know, actually hundreds of people into the companies where I'm on the boards. We're very involved in the whole talent management thing. So the major change that I think has taken place is that the world is changing so rapidly. The new work world is different than the old work world. And that where that is critical is what we're looking for is mindsets, not specifically skill sets any longer. We used to look for skill sets because they lasted for a long period of time. Now, the industries that we're in, the technology, the consumer, all of the structures of the industry, how we distribute product and everything is moving and changing so fast. What we're looking for are really very smart, but people who are flexible, who fit our culture, who are enthusiastic, who are strong leaders, who can attract other talent, who can work collaboratively, who fit our culture. Culture is very important now. More important than ever is, do you understand the culture of the company that you're interviewing, and do you fit into that culture? So expect now that people will work in our company shorter periods of time, and most people will have 4 and 5 careers in their lifetime. So we're much more geared towards flexibility and being able to take people and push them into new leadership positions and into new work environments and have them adjust and adopt quickly. So urgency and the ability to adapt quickly is one of the things that we look for when we're talking to candidates.
So what is, most of the candidates today, do they all have that, or what's the percentage, or what are you seeing out there when people come in for a job? Are they asking, are they interviewing you, or are you interviewing them?
Well, the first thing that we look for is, have they really done their homework? And doing your homework means a number of things. First, do you really know yourself? Have you really done, understood your own passions, what motivates you, strengths and weaknesses? So we look for that. Number one, is the person self-aware? The second thing that we're really after is, what is different about you, and can you express what's different about you? Because when we look at resumes now, we see lots of very smart people, and the resumes first, for people who are applying for the first time, start looking like they're all the same. So we're looking for somebody who can really express themselves and that really know what is unique about them and what they can contribute to the company. We like good questions, but we like thoughtful, insightful questions, things like, what are the biggest challenges in this job? What type of a person will do well, et cetera. We have no problem with them asking intelligent questions about the culture, what type of person really succeeds, et cetera. And let me give you a couple of hints here about what we have seen works. First, if you can establish a rapport with the person who is recruiting you and get to know something about them quickly and make that person feel better when about themselves when they leave the interview than when they entered, you significantly increase your chance of getting the job. It also, early in the interview, lets you know what's really important in the that they're really looking for, and then you can start to orient your whole dialogue into what are the most critical, you know, what are the most critical factors here. The wrong approach to this is if you come in, we watch for arrogance. We don't want arrogance because we want self-confidence, but we don't want arrogance because it means you're probably not going to be coachable. It's going to be difficult for you to adapt. It will be difficult for you to work in a team environment. So that's, you know, that's something that we really, you know, that we really watch for. But there's without question now, we are seeing a lot of people come in who try to take control of the interview, which is what you don't want to do. Let the interviewer interview you and give good answers to their questions. And then you ask some insightful questions.
So, Frank, what you just said is really beautiful information, and you would think most people would understand that and because it's common sense. Again, what percentage of the people that interview today, no matter how smart they are, understand the concept of they're on an interview?
I would say probably, unless they had a lot of interviews, if they're early in the interview process, probably half understand that they're really being interviewed and respond accordingly. So half don't. It's only after they have a number of interviews that are not successful where they don't get invited back. And then when I encounter those people, I encourage them, when you finish the interview, ask the interviewee, how did you do? Or if you don't get an offer, frequently an interviewer will talk to you and tell you what you did wrong. So, but I would say half.
I think half is shocking. I mean, I would think so many more people would get what it's all about and to not be arrogant, at least in the interview portion of the process, and to not understand that is kind of surprising that such a small percentage.
Frank, how does that differ? How does what you just told us, which is valuable information, you got right to the crux immediately, how does that differ from when you were interviewing? You said that things have changed in this fast-changing world. To me, it seems like this has been the formula since the beginning of time.
Yeah, we went through an environment where jobs were tough to get. So I think people learned much faster what they had to do and how they had to come off in terms of being able to get a job. Now we're in an environment where there is a lot of jobs available. We definitely, you know, I worry when I see someone come in who has, you know, either out of school, has been out a long time and has not gotten a job, even though they may have, you know, scores that are academic scores that are through the roof. It starts to signal there's some kind of issue. Now, what is also very common now is we use testing techniques. We put a lot of people now, and I'm not just talking about high-level people, first hires through a testing technique, one of which we use is called predictive index. And in there, what we're looking for is exactly the things we're talking about. Is this person a team player? Are they coachable? Is there an arrogance barrier, a behavior barrier here that's going to be a problem? Are they going to fit the culture? And certainly, cultural fit, and there's a whole new meaning to what is culture inside of companies. Now, many of the people who get hired fail not because they're totally incompetent, fail often because they do not fit the culture of the company. And either they decide to leave or they're asked to leave. So that is a new, very critical issue. You must understand the mission of the company. Almost every company has a mission. And you've got to be able to demonstrate that you really care about that mission and that you can fit into that mission. So that's a big difference.
And how do you learn the culture of the specific job, Salesforce versus IBM versus Apple? How do you learn the culture of those companies?
Okay, there's a couple of key ways, and this is all about doing your homework, and it's very easy. If somebody comes in and starts into an interview and starts asking you questions about things they should already know, that's a big signal. Are they really interested in the company? They're twofold. Almost every company publishes it. There is a lot available on the internet about it, but I totally encourage people to go beyond anything in the internet. One of the problems I see today is many of people feel they can solve everything and get every piece of information they need off of the internet. What is most valuable is building relationships, and that is search. Find people in that company that you're going to interview that you either know or college alums or whatever, and talk to them. Talk to the people who are in the company. It's also very impressive when you walk into the interview and you said, look, I've talked to five people, or I've talked to your customers. And often that is as critical, because that also, the culture flows. Everybody now is very much flowing their culture into their customers and being customer-facing. So you should be able to get the culture, what's different about this company, from customers as well as current employees. Talk to people. And I say the golden chain that you want to build throughout your career is relationships with people, and that you have to build through talking with people, not just through the internet.
A personal relationship.
Personal relationship.
Right.
Do you ever study the individual's social media, look at what they're doing on Instagram, what they're doing on Facebook, or is that considered verboten or something that's encouraged?
No, we scan that. We definitely do look at that. And incidentally, once you're inside of the company, some companies that I'm involved with constantly scan as well to see if employers are saying anything about the company. So that's kind of an ongoing. So, yeah, absolutely, they will look at your social media. You know, that's hard for people because, you know, maybe in their earlier days, they did a bunch of stuff they put on social media that they wish was not there now. But that is important, because that does tell you a fair, you know, amount about the person and often about their values. And again, values are another thing that you'll find companies hold a lot more powerful, you know, and it's everything, looking for ethics. Do they care about other people? Are they, you know, do they do anything from a charitable standpoint, et cetera, et cetera? So that ends up being a lot more important today than it used to be.
Frank, what do you think was your winning formula? What do you, why? Now, this is in a very positive way, because yesteryear, you know, I was an employer for 40-something years, and yesteryear, if I would see a resume where somebody switched a job, you know, every 2 years or even every 4 years, I would say, this person is not going to stay here, they're not going to be sincere. Now, today, when I interview someone, if I see that they stayed at a company 4 or 5 years, I'm like, what's wrong with them? It completely flopped the other way. I'm asking you this in a very complimentary way. You were able to get jobs and compete against so many other people, both men and women, for positions. What do you think was your winning formula?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. See, I had to go back on my resume and count. I worked for 12 companies. I was the CEO or president of 6 of them, you know, in my career. For me, my friends kiddingly call me the original millennial, because I was doing this when nobody else was doing it and would
exactly
have been considered, you know, being disloyal. In my particular case, it was I was able to convince them of the value I could contribute to their company particularly from a lot of my past experiences. You know what? The second part of it is personality. It is enthusiasm. It's having fun during the interview. It's where they said, God, I'd love to work with this person. And also, from my standpoint, was constant creativity, which was ideas. And they could see in my background that I constantly was thinking with fresh ideas. And the other part of it actually was taking risks. I took a lot of risk with my career, and almost all of those companies, they started to think, we've got to take more risks to be able to grow. The other part of that was also I had a whole history of being able to attract talent, you know, into those companies. Another one, of course, is, you know, my kind of thread and expertise was understanding consumer products, but also being on the leading edge of technology and what was going on and living with the consumer all the time, or living with the ultimate customer. But, you know, a lot of it was dynamic personality, passion. People would tell me after the interview, you know, I watched you in the course of that interview. I got to tell you, what's most incredible was you smiled so many times and you were so enthusiastic. And, you know, that's another component of what they're really, you know, looking for. So,
I mean, what you just said is so important to me because I have networked, you know, maybe 100 people over my career, maybe more, into jobs. And a few of the interviews I sat in on, and I was shocked how the person performed. They had a stone face. They didn't say anything. Their body was rigid. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it was the same person. So it's amazing how you get it and most of the world doesn't get it.
And it sounds like it's really about likability. I mean, you have to be very likable, which, again, is common sense. Do you think there's also, this is going to be very superficial, but do you think it's also how you present yourself? Do you think a good-looking person has a better chance of landing the job than someone who's less good-looking, or is that...
Well, give Frank, that was a trick question, Steve. Give Frank your theory. Steve and I talk about this all the time, and let's see what Frank has to say.
I mean, I really think taller men do have at least gets them in the door. They may not be able to perform the job as well, but if you're a taller guy, if you're very good-looking, the same thing for a woman, it's just more commanding. People want to be in the same room with you. They want to hang out with you more. I think it's an advantage, maybe an unfair advantage, but an advantage. Is that being way too superficial, or is there some truth in that?
No. You have to just admit that those human factors definitely play into it. You know, and I don't consider myself, I'm certainly not tall, and I don't really consider myself handsome, but here's my thing was I say to them, have fun, be fun, so that people say, God, I would love to, you know, I would love to work with that person. So to me, that is, you know, just, you know, we often say when we finish the interview, in all, you know, now it's everybody who's interviewed an individual we have that we all fill out a form and then we get together and we talk about it. But you'll see that one of those is saying, would you really like to go out and have a beer with this person? And the other thing is this person interesting? Have they done something interesting? Now, like in my case, they would be attracted to my cycle trips and all the crazy stuff that I did. And they would be attracted to that and want to talk about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that also is getting the interviewer to talk about themselves, because they're going to feel much better about the interview. Most people don't quite understand that. Leave the interviewer feeling better about themselves. They're interviewing me when we walked in, but it definitely plays into it. So,
and do you think having a common interest, like I would think, you know, they're golfers, you're a golfer, boom, you've got an in with them, or they like basketball, you like basketball. Is that something that's so important, or is that really not the case? As someone who isn't a golfer and doesn't follow basketball, I always feel that's kind of a disadvantage sometimes when I walk into a meeting with somebody. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I wouldn't put that really high on, you know, on my list. If you find it quickly, and incidentally, I encourage people, always try to look up and get as much information about the person who's going to be interviewing you as you possibly can. So if you see a commonality, then a college or a school or a geography often helps, you know, significantly, in my opinion. But if you can find common ground, yes, it will be helpful. But in the end, you've got to really demonstrate that you're going to really add value to this, to this company. So, you know, there's some other things in here. When I said mindset, here are, to me, versus skill set, here are the elements of that. To me, they're important. A constant fluidity. You've been able to move and change, an openness that you can really think and you will listen. And listening, incidentally, in an interview is critical. That's one of the boxes that we check. If they constantly talked and didn't listen or ask intelligent questions, that's a negative. Someone that we think is going to be, flexible, a risk taker, perhaps make bold moves, who is self-confident, who is curious, who's innovative. A big one for me that helped me always is I was much more strategic in my thinking. So I got above the crowd because everybody else was talking about tactics. And I could ask questions about what about the industry, long range, what about the positioning of the company, whatever, instead of just setting down narrowly and talk about the job. So they start to think about, this person really has some vision, who can think much larger and probably make a bigger contribution. So those are other things that worked for me.
You know, Frank, I have to say, anybody who's looking for a job should be listening to this podcast, because even though some of it, I think, maybe people already have an understanding of, but just to hear you say it and then to have that mindset going into the interview and to do the homework, I think could make a huge difference in just tipping the scale from getting the job to not getting the job. So
I have one question that fits in with what you just said, Steve, Frank, and it's not a terribly important one, but I'm very curious about it. How many people do you preach this to that just don't get it and there's nothing you could do to help them get a job and they're always out of work?
I don't know. It's amazing in terms of I think it's a relatively small amount. Often by the time they have come to me, someone has recommended they talk to me, and they seem to get advice from me that's very different than anyone else, including their parents. And I also take them through a process. I have a definite process and steps that I walk through with them. First, to find out about themselves. Do they know about themselves? Are they just following the rest of the sheep in career? It's always amazing to me the number of well-educated people coming out of schools who are just following everybody else's kind of career, trying to get into everybody else's career path and pattern, haven't really stopped and thought about what's unique and what careers are available to them and new careers that are constantly, emerging. And I really make them write down strengths, weaknesses, passions, and then stem from that into what are possible careers, new careers. And then I actually go through a second conversation with them where I work through that and said, have you considered this? Have you considered that? Because in many cases, they're really unaware of what type of new careers are available and companies. So a lot of it is what I call is, let me help you open the lens, onto, the new, the new work world. And start back there instead of immediately starting to look for jobs. And then I have a whole process of choosing careers and then identifying companies, people that can help you, and how to ask help from references, and then conducting the interview itself. Here's one little gem you'll love. One of the, high-end consulting companies that I worked for, I always said the interview starts when you walk in the door of that building. most people that we were interviewing didn't understand that our receptionist was part of the evaluation team.
Wow.
How they treated the receptionist, and if they had to wait for other people to interview them, how did that person, you know, how did that person respond? Very interesting. So, you know, it, you have doing the homework and then, you know, recognizing what are people really looking for and what are they watching for when you walk in that door and you start your interview is, you know, is often, you know, critical and surprising to people. So,
well, that's great advice, Frank. I really appreciate it. I'm hoping you'll hire me. I want a job.
I can hire your mindset.
Job.
Yes,
yeah, please give me a job. But this has been really great information. And I want to say I'm Steve Greenberg. I'm with
Lois Whitman.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. So long, everybody.